This is the Art Beauty Podcast, where we are always reaching for truth in beauty. Remember, the brands and the people on the show are not paying to be here, so we get to have the real discussions we know that you want to hear, because you deserve to be informed so you can make the best choices for yourself. With that said, I'm Amber Milt, and today my fabulous co-host is friend of the show, Jennifer Hanway. She's a board-certified holistic nutritionist. She has just so much information. She is one of my beauty besties, and we got a great show in store for you today. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, Amber. It's so good to be here. I feel like we should always record the bit that we talk about before we actually hit record, because that's when we get some of the juicy stuff as well.
And so maybe we will. We were talking about, like, should we be transparent about some of the things we're doing? We've been sharing some stuff. So let's get into today first. And then, you know what? Because we're going to keep it honest here, we're going to tell you, because we've been talking about some things that we're doing, if you're interested. So first off, it is April 16th. Most of you had the most hated day if you were in the United States yesterday. Hopefully you paid your taxes. I'm so overpaying taxes, but we got to do it. So, you know, if you need a little bit of like lighthearted recovery, hope you can get some of that today. We're also going into, I know it seems like it's not there because in New York and the East Coast, it's been cold, but like summer is coming, isn't it?
It's coming. I was in Arizona a couple of weeks ago and it was just, and I was like, remind me where I live on the East Coast again, but it's coming. It's going to come around so quickly. And I think we're in that. We have, my husband and I, we seem to have the season between like mid-February, so post Valentine's Day, through to getting our taxes in, that just seem the busiest like 2.5 months of our lives ever. And every year it rolls around and like our car always needs servicing and like all of the things. So hopefully we can all take a breath, take a pause, and then look forward to summer.
I feel like it's the busiest and also the most boring, right? Like in some ways, because it's like, there's no, you know, my husband always says like after February, Super Bowl, I mean, Valentine's Day for us is like, so we always try to take a trip in February, but then it's like March, April, these 2 months that are looming where it can go either way. Either it can be beautiful out and you can be happy, or it's not nice out and it's like, come on already. But yeah. And then you're doing all the things like getting ready to pay your taxes, hopefully paying your taxes, thanking God that you paid your taxes, car servicing, all the things. I hate taxes. So, but in light, knowing that the summer is coming, I wanted Jen to come on today because, you know, listen, we've talked about it before, and I thought we should do a real in-depth dive into this today about the relationship between sugar and our skin and the realities that it has. You know, I'm a sweet tooth. I like my cocktail from time to time, but I know that's not bad. And as I'm starting to get older, I'm starting to realize like, I look tired more. My skin doesn't bounce back. So tell us a little bit about this. Like, just give it to us, rip the Band-Aid off. How bad is sugar for us?
It's bad. And I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but it really is. And it is something that I really notice in my clients and my friends post 40. We don't have as much wiggle room anymore. We don't bounce back as well anymore from those late nights, from the sugar, from the wine, and kind of 40 onwards. What I'm really starting to see is the split between women that really take care of their skin and take care of their skin from the inside out, and women that don't. And I think all of us up until about our 30s, we can get away with a lot more. We get to 40 and you really start to see who's been putting in the work and who hasn't.
And you know, I think sometimes when we talk about work, it's like we spend so much money on skincare products, on you know, these in-office treatments some of us do or maybe don't. But then are we just totally derailing it by our diet? Is there sort of like a balance that we can find? What exactly does sugar do to the skin?
Yeah, you're not going to be totally derailing it. So you're not undoing all of the hard work. But let's be real about it. A lot of us spend a lot of money on our skincare at home. We're spending a lot of money on skincare treatments. Now, why would we not want to optimize that investment by looking after our skin from the outside in? And one of the biggest things, you know, I get so many people reaching out to me like, what about this supplement? What about that supplement? What about this collagen? What about that? And I'm like, let's go back to basics. Because one of the biggest things that we can do, one of the best things that we can do, if we're talking about skin in any context, whether we're thinking about anti-aging, reducing inflammation, dealing with anything like eczema, acne, rosacea, wanting to look young and youthful, I think it's okay that we want to say that we want to look young, is to minimize sugar. And there's really two parts to sugar and the skin. Number one, if you're someone who struggles from with breakouts, and I see this a lot of women in their 30s and 40s, we've got breakouts on one hand, premature aging on the other hand, and they're happening at the same time. And sugar is really the culprit. So in terms of our breakouts, what happens is when we eat sugar, it raises our cortisol levels, it raises our insulin levels. Those are our two kind of master hormones. Now, when we raise our insulin levels and our cortisol levels, that can raise other hormones in the body that can create breakouts and inflammation. So it helps us, it makes us produce more sebum, we get more breakouts. It's why that we see as teenagers, we get a lot of breakouts, especially with those androgen hormones as well. So sugar, oily skin, more breakouts. So it makes
Yeah.
sense as a teenager, but we also see that in women in their 30s and 40s as well.
Now, when you talk about sugar, are you just talking about refined sugar, or are we talking about sugars that we have, naturally occurring, like in fruits, even some vegetables?
Yeah, so let me get to that in a second because I haven't even talked about sugar and aging. I'm going to give
Okay.
you even more bad news. Okay, I'm going to be, I want to be bad cop, but then I'm going to be good cop and talk about all the things that we can do. Okay, so one hand, we've got those breakouts. The other hand is premature aging of the skin through something called advanced glycation end products, or also known as ages. And what this does is when we eat a lot of sugar in the diet, it binds to the collagen and the elastin in our skin. So the collagen and the elastin in our skin, it cannot repair, we cannot grow more collagen. And the way I ask people to think about this is think about when you have barbecue and it's delicious, but you have that barbecue sauce on the meat and it makes it go kind of hard and crispy on the outside. Delicious for our barbecue, but that's what's happening with our skin if we're having too much sugar as well.
So,
Sugar is great for barbecue, bad for skin.
got it. Well, speaking of barbecue and skin, let's talk about the types of sugar. So, are we talking about only refined sugar, or are you talking about the types of sugars that could be found, like in fruits and vegetables and other naturally occurring sources?
No, what we're really talking about here is added sugars and refined carbohydrates. So added
Okay.
sugars and caloric sweeteners. So added sugars and caloric sweeteners, anything that the manufacturer has added to the food or anything that you add at home. So for example, a really good example of added sugars are the syrups that we get in our Starbucks latte. And also what's important to think about is that we typically think of white sugar, and I see so much noise around healthier sugars, things like coconut sugar, honey, maple syrup. Unfortunately, they all have the same impact on your blood sugar and your skin. So they're not healthier sugars.
Shoot, on that note, I feel like I also want to talk to you. I see in the, like I was in the grocery store the other day and I saw all these kind of like healthy beauty kind of inspired drinks, where it's like probiotics and different types of like watermelon beauty drinks. And I was thinking, gosh, that sounds good, but there must be so much crap in this.
This is the thing. It's, and are there some great options out there? Yes, there are great options out there in terms of kind of nutraceuticals, so things that we're having, in our diets that can help with that. But a lot of the time when you get a processed food of any kind, yes, that might have a bunch of collagen in it. You've got a drink with collagen in it, but if it's going to have sugar in it, they're just going to outweigh the two. So the majority of them are not great.
Yeah, I mean, just stick to the basics, keep it clean. Or if you're gonna just go off the deep end, do what I do and have a Diet Coke.
And I mean, here's the thing, there's nothing wrong with the occasional Diet Coke. And we're talking occasional here, and it's also, it depends on your health status and your goals. So
Yeah.
if you are someone who's really struggling with their weight, really struggling with their blood sugar balance, really struggling with their metabolism, then yes, we want to steer clear of these things for a longer period until we can get healthier. For someone who is generally healthy, your labs come back great, you're not struggling with weight, et cetera, you can have these things in regular
Moderation.
occurrences, in moderation, and they're not going to be the end of the world. But I just think my biggest thing is I just see so many women spending so much money on skincare and treatments, and then I'm doing it all with their diet.
So, on that note, if sugar is something that we're looking to remove from our diets, I know that you have a fabulous detox plan. It's a 14-day detox. But what are some ways that we can start to do that? You know, or do we have to go cold turkey?
So let's talk about some of the places that we can find it in our diet where it's easier to take out. So some of the kind of the worst offenders. Number one is going to be soda. I think we all know soda is bad for us.
Right.
The one that really frustrates me is the syrup sweetened drinks in places like Starbucks. I'm in Massachusetts, so in Dunkin'. Even your small, and I mean small, like the one they don't even offer you, I think it's like 12 ounces or something. It might even be 8 ounces. Small vanilla latte in Starbucks, 22 grams of added sugar.
What about the sugar-free syrups?
We could go sugar-free syrups. They're a little bit more chemically laden. But really, do we need to be having, if we're going for a coffee, can we not just drink a coffee? Does it have to be a dessert? There's a big difference between a coffee, you know, and I'm not saying you have to have a black coffee, have a splash of milk in there, whatever. But, you know, with the Starbucks drinks, I think they're so misleading. The holiday drinks can have up to 70 grams of sugar in there.
Yeah.
That's like three times as much as you get in a slice of dessert.
Yeah. Yeah.
So really, that's the biggest places we can find them. Sodas. We're going to think about having it in our coffee as well. And then the other place I'm going to say, unfortunately, is in our wine and our alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the collagen smoothie in one hand and the glass of wine in the other, and we're really just kind of, we're not doing ourselves any favors there.
And what about when it comes to, I've got a girlfriend who was drinking like organic wines or natural wines. Are those any better? I think the naturals don't add sugar, right?
They're going to be better. But they're still not, there's, you know, I've gone back and forth over this over the years, and I have changed my own mindset. And in full transparency, I don't drink anymore. I haven't drunk for about 18 months because we have very clear evidence that alcohol is more harmful for our health than is beneficial for our health. Right. And I wish that wasn't the case because I love a great glass of champagne or a great glass of red wine, but just knowing what I know, I couldn't in integrity include that in my diet. And also from a financial integrity point of view, I couldn't be spending all of this money on skincare and treatments and then undoing that work with wine. So yes, the organic, more natural wines, they have less sugar, less colorings, but they're still going to spike your blood sugar. They're still going to send our hunger hormones all over the place. And they're still really going to tax our livers as well.
Right. Oh my goodness. Okay. So we've got sugary drinks, the syrup drinks, soda, wine and alcohol. What else? You know, are there any other sneakier places that sugar might be existing?
I have a real issue with products that pretend to be healthy and they're really not. I'd rather just, if you are a candy bar, just call yourself a candy bar and let someone enjoy it. So for example, when we look at granolas and cereal are one of the worst offenders, especially granola. Granola is delicious, but granola is delicious because it has honey and maple syrup and all kinds of different sugars in there as well. The same with cereals. I have a real issue with Kind bars. Kind bars have a ton of sugar in there. I'm like, just, and then they try and, you know, there's a ton of sugar in there and then they put 5 grams of protein and they can call themselves a protein bar.
Right.
So I would rather products were just transparent. And if you're going to have some candy, have a Snickers, have a Reese's Pieces, enjoy it, rather than going over here to a pretend healthy option. So really with any of these things, it's always about ignoring the front of the packaging. The front of the packaging for anything in food, in skincare, it's always for marketing. We never want to believe that. We flip it round. Front is for marketing, back is for science. And we always want to look at the ingredients. It was like I met someone at an event last night and they were asking me about a certain product that someone had recommended to them. And I was like, I don't care what the person says about the product. Show me the ingredients and show me the clinical studies.
Well, you got to tell us, what was the product?
It was BioCell something or other. All they did was send me a promo video about it. And I'm like, I can't tell you anything about this because
okay.
I don't know the ingredients and I don't know the studies. And that's the same for any food. What is it? Don't believe the claims on the front. Flip it around, find out what's in it.
So you know, because I know there are a lot of people who listen to this podcast who probably do need the occasional sort of quick meal replacement bar. Are any of them at all good?
Protein bars are not great. So, but we need them in it. We need them in a hurry. So the one that I recommend that you could actually have on a regular basis is something called an Epic bar, but it's really not epic. So, but it's a bar made out of meat. So it is a true protein bar. You know, most people, when they're thinking protein bars, they're thinking Quest bars, they're thinking maybe Kind bars. And the reason why they like these, not Quest bars, they don't have sugar in them, but the reason why they like these is they feel like a treat.
Yeah. Or it feels like very palatable if you have to have it for breakfast. So Epic is like a meat stick.
Epic is like a meat bar.
Okay.
Exactly.
What about, I can't think of the name of it, but it's like a small bar and it's like, it has six cashews and something else.
That's RX bar.
The RX bars, are they bad? Bad
they're not bad at all. But the thing with protein bars is, we haven't got a true, apart from Quest bars, which I don't love because they're full of really processed dairy and sugar alcohol. Most protein bars will have almost twice as many carbohydrates as they do protein. So they're only protein bars because they have a little bit of protein in there, not because they're a good source of protein. So I say to people, you know, have these when there's no other options, if you have to get on a flight, all of those things, but we don't want to make them a regular part of our diet.
Sure. But if you need them occasionally, you know, and again, I'm not the holistic nutritionist here, but I found on Amazon, Amazon sells little individual packet of pistachios.
Yeah.
I keep them in my desk and like, I think it's like 100 calories, but man, will those fill me up? So I've tried to kind of, and like when I do QVC and QVC, we have to be like up for like 24, 28 hours. Those seem to be really helpful to me.
Yeah, because they have protein, they have fiber in them, they have fat in them, they have a little bit of protein in them. So I flew back from the West Coast a few weeks ago, and I didn't, usually when I fly, I like to take my own food with me. I wasn't staying at home, so I didn't have that option. So I went to like their version of our Hudson News, and I got some Chomp turkey sticks. I got some nuts. I did get an RX bar. I got a tiny thing of grapes that cost me $10.
So ridiculous.
Oh my God. Like, I spend money on food, and even I was like, are you kidding me? So $70 later, but yes, those things like nuts, the jerky, the grapes, that kind of thing kept me going for the flight.
So, you know, I want to be mindful of time here, but we've kind of identified some of these bad foods. I think it makes sense. So if we want to start to detox from some of the sugar, what does that look like? I know you have a program, but how should we begin to do that? Is that gradually, or do we have to go cold turkey?
So I will recommend going cold turkey, because what we have to do is actually stop a dopamine response in our brain. So we're going to go back into the science a little bit. So there's a couple of reasons why we crave sugar. One of them is because sugar sets off a dopamine response in our brain. We are wired to crave sugar as evolutionary biology. So back when we were cave people, foods like honey, berries were really, really important for our survival. So our body is designed to crave those. Now, when we eat foods that are high in sugar, we get that dopamine response in our brain. It makes us feel good. You know, just that same, you know, we talk about dopamine detoxing in terms of like not checking our social media all the time. It's the same with sugar. Now, the more sugar we have, the more we get that dopamine response, the more we need to get that hit, for want of a better way of saying it. So what I do ask people to do, I say, if you give me 14 days without having sugar and added sweeteners, we can retrain that part of the brain. But I don't have people white knuckle this, because that's never going to work. Like if I say to you, Amber, you can't have any sugar, any wine, you can't have your candy corn at Halloween, what is going to be the first thing that you're going to want to have?
Candy corn immediately.
Candy
and
corn.
Wine.
Uh-huh. We've had that conversation. But what we really want to do is, we're going to think about taking those things out, but we're also going to support your body's biochemistry over here. So if we don't have protein, fiber, and fat in our meals, we're going to crave these foods even more. So what a lot of people do is, when they go on a diet, a detox, whatever we want to call it, they jump straight in with everything. And they're like, I'm not going to have any fat, any sugar, any carbs, any such and such. And they get to maybe 3 o'clock that day and they're headfirst in a tub of Ben and Jerry's.
Right.
So what we want to do, if we're thinking about taking out sugar in our diet, detoxing from sugar, is making sure we're having a really great amount of protein, ton of veggies, fresh fruits, healthy fats, maybe some more complex carbs at every meal, that is going to help rewire our body so we're not craving those foods so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, if people can't do this on their own, I know you have an incredible program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I saw this in, I'm seeing so much noise around giving up sugar, blood sugar spikes, et cetera, but no one's really teaching you how to do it. People are just expecting you to kind of white knuckle it, and that doesn't work for anything. So I put together my 14-day detox. It helps you with the behavior change part of it. That's also going to give you the exact thing to do. You know, I'm busy, you're busy, my clients are busy. They don't want to have to figure it out themselves. They want someone to show them exactly how to do it. So within 14-day detox, we have 14 days of meal plans. So breakfast, lunch, healthy snack, and dinner. We have our smart swaps, which are all of our sugar-free options for your favorite foods. And then we're also talking about the behavior change piece of the puzzle as well. So it really is going to take you through that 14 days. And honestly, within a couple of days, you're going to start feeling better.
I love that. Love that. Love that. If people want to know more about that program, where should they go?
Best place to come over is come and see me over at Instagram. I'm at Jennifer Hanway on Instagram. We'll have all of the details up there for you.
Amazing. And you know what? Before we wrap things up, we did say at the beginning we would be kind of transparent about some of the things that we've been doing. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Which decade are we starting from? No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
So I get Botox on a regular basis. I did only start doing that when I was 37 or 38. I wish I had started that earlier. Honestly, I remember the first time I ever got a microdermabrasion. I must've been like 30 or something. And I was petrified. And I was like, oh, this is nothing. And then the first time you get Botox, you're like, oh my goodness. And then you're like, give me all of the Botox. So Botox on a regular basis. I have had Sculptra in my temples, which I really like. And I feel like Sculptra is the gift that keeps on giving. I've done a little bit, I've done Clear and Brilliant. I did Silphirm the other day as well. I will say I'm that person that kind of tends to treatment jump, and I never do a series of anything. So I'd say probably the major things that I do. I mean, I am very, very dialed in on my diet. I don't drink. I do drink coffee. I take a ton of supplements. So I'm very good on that side. Pretty good with my basics of skincare, things I do on a regular basis, pretty much Botox, and then kind of maintenance stuff with laser or hydrofacial. That's probably where I'm at. What I'll never do, I probably will never do threads. That freaks
me
out.
Don't ever do threads. I mean, even all the professionals who used to like swear by threads are now saying, there's too many complications. It can just be a nightmare, I've heard.
Yeah. So I think that's where I'm at for me for the next however long.
I love that.
Are we allowed to talk about you?
I am regular Botox. I started at 35. I'm actually glad, you know, I think for some listeners, for some people that may seem young, some people that may seem old. I thought it was the right age. So I think 37 is actually like kind of the right age. If you start too young, Botox can cumulatively start to lose its effectiveness. Also by paralyzing the same muscles all the time, it thins the skin. You get muscle atrophy because you're never using that muscle. So I realized one of the problems I had, I started to have veins pop up, and my doctor was like, oh, it's because we've probably done too much Botox there. So I had to lay off that. So full movement right here. But I will continue to go and sort of add that back in up here. I'm giving it a little break. I am doing Sculptra for the first time, so I'm excited. Stay tuned for that. I'm doing it with New Beauty, so just Google New Beauty Amber Sculptra in like a couple weeks, and that video should be up there, and I will track my process. Of course, I'll also share it on social. And then, yeah, like occasional lasers. I think my next thing will be in the fall to do IPL again.
Okay.
That'll be the big one. Althera, I like, it's very expensive. So, but you know, I think the most important thing, find a doctor or derm that you love. Not that there's not great medical professionals out there and assistants, but like go to a board certified doctor or derm to get a good plan. You know, you just, you want to make sure that you're in the right hands, and that's all I got. So with that, my lovelies, you know, we're in spring. Happy April. Happy post-tax day. We're good for another year, we hope. Jennifer, thank you so much for being on. Great advice that we can take for to the spring, the summer, when I certainly know we kind of start to derail some of our diets, and certainly beyond.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know I love you. And of course, if you at home have any questions you want me to pass on to Jennifer, I'm happy to do so. You can email me at hello@artbeautypodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube @artbeautypodcast. And as always, we will see you next Tuesday.